My seminary theology professor was very interested in phenomenology, the study of fundamental human phenomena. And he was interested in the theological implications of that. What does God say? What does Jesus do that relates to and blesses and redeems the fundamental human experience? So, phenomenologists, one of their issues is starting at the right point. So, for example, if I asked you to think about your body, most of us would start with how we feel about our body when we see it in a mirror. What we like, what we don't like, etc. Usually we obsess about what we don't like about our bodies. But phenomenologists say, well, wait, no, there's a prior, more fundamental place that is the start of our experience of our body. And so they say that my body is my openness to the world. So a phenomenologist thinking about the human body and doing philosophy about the human body would start with, my first experience is that my body connects me. You know, I see the world, I touch the world, I taste and smell and feel the world. So my body starts as an openness to the world around me. And later we get to my feelings about my body, sure. But early on, at least philosophically, an important starting point is our openness to the world around us that is created by our body. So it's a quirky way of thinking. It's a challenge to get back to those very fundamental human phenomena. But where you start is really important. Where you start your line of thought, where you start a philosophical or theological argument is really important. Frederick Denison Maurice knew this. And one of his challenges in his work all the time is to get us to start at the right place and to use the right definitions. So, for example, in the reading that we heard today, which at first here is a little confusing, what he's saying is, what do we mean when we say eternal? What is the starting point of eternal? Is the starting point of eternal endless? It goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Or is the starting point of our thought about eternal timeless? There's a subtle difference there, isn't there? Going on and on and on and on is extending something on through time. Whereas if eternal is timeless, it's something that is bigger than or transcends the timeline. So F.D. Maurice thinks about that, and he says, all right, so all you folks out there who hollering about be careful of the eternal damnation that comes from sin, meaning that you'll be in hell and that experience will go on and on and on and on forever, you are throwing away people's hope. If you think about eternal as timeless, couple of interesting things happen. We have timeless moments of grace. We have timeless moments of forgiveness that we can experience now. And we have timeless moments of being trapped in sin. We have those moments when we feel completely guilty. And moments are timeless, not in the sense that they go on and on and on and on, but they're timeless in the sense that they're not bound by any time. That humans have felt those things forever. And that they feel deep and almost impossible to deal with. And so, F.D. Maurice is saying is, if you think of eternal the right way as timeless, then you can understand those moments when you feel mired completely in sin and guilt. And you can also come to grasp moments when you feel timeless grace and timeless forgiveness. And so what he's saying to us is, starting from the point of timeless is going on, eternal is going on and on and on instead of timeless, is starting at the wrong place and giving yourself the wrong definitions. And therefore, making a mess of things, and ultimately, his assertion, robbing people of hope. It's really, really interesting. Right? And that's kind of what's going on in the scene with Jesus and Pilate. Pilate is all mired up in kingdom and power, right? Are you a king? And Jesus invites him into an opportunity to get to the right starting place when he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And we can imagine, what if Pilate had said, okay, well, tell me more about your kingdom. Okay, where is your kingdom of if it's not of this world? What does that mean, Jesus? What if he had asked him those things? What if he had said, tell me something about your kingdom? But instead, he goes right back to kingdom as power and control and says, oh, so you are a king. And Jesus says, nope, not getting it. Not hearing it. That just went vroom, right over his head. Right? It's a moment that we tend to pack with all kinds of, try to pack it with all kinds of deep metaphysical stuff, but it's really simply this. He can't get that there's another world. He can't get that there's a kingdom that isn't about power and coercion. He can't get it. He doesn't even know how to ask about it. Jesus opens an opportunity for him to ask a question. When he says, my kingdom is not of this world, and Pilate could have said, tell me more. Tell me what world your kingdom is of then. I don't understand. Explain it to me. But instead, oh, so you are a king. So see, I knew you were pretending to be a king. This is all about power, and my power is going to win. Because I can crucify you. He misses it. Because he can't get to the right starting point. Which is the possibility that kingdom could be about something other than power and coercion. So it's a question again of getting to the right starting point. And moving from there. And that right starting point is the place often that we don't think about casually. Today's world, one of our challenges for our ancestors, for our Protestant ancestors in this country, riding circuit, riding preachers and others, heading west with the westward expansion of the country. You know that getting from east to west was a hard project. You know that people were put in impossible situations where they had to do things they didn't want to do, including kill or be killed. And so for our ancestors, the idea that people were aware of their sin, that you could start to proclaim the gospel by starting with sin, made sense. Because, yeah, getting here and surviving and keeping my family alive and getting through various hostile people, be it thieves, brigands, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, was risky business, and I had to do things that were unpalatable to me or that I wouldn't normally do. So talking about sin and forgiveness made sense for our ancestor preachers and fellow Christians in this country. It made sense then. It doesn't make sense now. People don't experience themselves as trapped in sin. They experience themselves, people on the street, out there. If I go out there and say, let me talk to you about sin. Let me talk to you about overwhelm. That gets some attention. Let me talk to you about treating everyone fairly and with justice. That gets some attention. The thing the church needs to figure out today is what is the right starting point to reach people today with the good news of God in Christ. Because it isn't always sin. That may come later as people start to approach the faith and appropriate the faith. Then they may realize there are places in life where I feel guilty, where I messed up, where I behaved badly, that I want to have a sense of forgiveness for. Then we can move there. But the automatic assumption that sin is where we should start in order to proclaim the gospel today, I challenge that. I think, like F.D. Maurice, we need to ask ourselves, what's the right starting point for people's experience of their lives today? Because where we start makes a huge difference.